Hey Potters, welcome to episode 239 of Cosplay the Podcast for all things cosplay. Woohoo!
I like how you just steamroll through those now.
If I get it rolling in my head first, I kind of follow it downhill like a boulder.
Or like a giant Lego ball. But at least that way it's a nice smooth transition and you don't have to worry about flubbing.
But it's always downhill. It's not uphill.
Mm-mm. It all goes downhill from here, honey.
Which I had to laugh. I believe it was yesterday or day before yesterday. It was one of the two because it was very recent. On Twitter, they had a bunch of Roman and Greek, we'll call them legends, trending on Twitter.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
People were making punny jokes with their names. It made the nerd in me so happy because I loved mythology in school.
Right. It's been cute.
Yes.
Sometimes Twitter can be used for good and funny things.
And then the next day, PEMDAS trended again, and then I was sad.
You know. It is what it is. We just keep going.
For those who don't know what PEMDAS is, PEMDAS, go look it up.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's start off with cosplay updates.
Yeah. So do you want to start or do you want me to start? Because I know you got a lot.
I have a lot of show and tell. So I've been doing mostly non-cosplay things. I will say that I actually rolled my first yarn ball.
Welcome to the club!
Doesn't seem like very much of an accomplishment.
It is. But no.
It's
no,
a
no,
little
no.
easier to do it this way.
I can, let me tell you guys, because I taught myself how to knit last year and I had to re-roll a number of yarn balls. Once you learn how to do it, it is the most satisfying accomplishment you could possibly have because they are a pain in the tuchus to roll up properly. Oh my goodness.
Yarn is not normally sold this way, for those who don't know. It's normally sold in, do you have one?
I'm trying to look for one.
Do you have a skein?
No, I have my big cake skein. Hey, look, there's one. I have one like this.
Yes. And that's almost ball-shaped anyways.
It's a thing.
It's normally more of kind of a figure eight or a log.
Yeah, it's like a big log.
And the reason that I am rolling balls of yarn is because as part of Amber's project to get rid of all of her spare craft sundries and resources, I am back to crocheting scarves for the homeless again this year. So that I can do donation. So, of course, I've been working on crocheting scarves.
Neat.
This
That's
is
so
how
nice
I wrap
and
them
neat.
When they are done. Yes, this way I can stack them in a box when I go to donate them. So this is me using up crafting supplies. I've also been working, and I can actually show this to you guys because I've already shown the recipient who will be receiving this. I am pretty much done.
Very pretty.
With the thing that I was working on cross-stitching madly that had a deadline. Unfortunately, I did not make the deadline because life.
That's happened. It's okay. It is a thing.
And the other thing that I was working on, and I will show you guys this, Easy Craft resin. I ended up getting this free from Joann's. Long story, basically, something happened to where I got more coupons than I normally would have. So, this stuff is great, mostly because it doesn't smell. When you cast resin with Cast and Craft, that stuff smells to high frickin' heaven and you have to do it outside. This I can actually do in my apartment because it has no smell, which is fan-frickin-tastic, until you actually try and use it. So, you remember these lovely little silicone things that I showed you guys from a little while ago, and I told you that I was trying to make mod melts work with these, because great, I can use up my mod melts, and of course you saw the terrible results that happened last episode with those.
Right.
So, since these are intended to be used with resin, I poured actual resin into them, because hey, that's what you're supposed to be doing. The only problem with these, and I can't show you the actual one that I pulled out, which is why I'm missing one of them, because there are four. It is sitting on my table, because when you have molds, they're supposed to be nice and hard. In other words, I can't push this in because it's hard. Bottom, squish, 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 squish. From here up, it's hard. From here down, it never set. This was 7 days ago, people. 7 days, and the resin has still not set in any of these three. I also tried casting another one of those quartz rods that you guys have seen me have before, and that had the same problem. The entire top of it cured, the entire bottom of it looked like you had melted sugar in a pot and were trying to make candy with it. And it got everywhere, including all over my hands. Thank goodness it doesn't smell. However, there is a note on the package that says it is known to cause cancer in the state of California, so it's not something I really wanted to have all over my hands. Needless to say, resin is soap resistant. Thank you, orange soap. Automotive soap is the greatest thing known to man, besides maybe sliced cheese, and that will get the resin off, if you ever need to. Anyways, this is Amber's story time. Let me tell you how I almost set my apartment on fire.
Oh, goody. Everybody strap yourselves in.
So, when I was messing with these little silicone molds, and I originally tried demolding the circular prism one, which is the one that you don't see because I don't have it. It's over there by about 20 feet. Still trying to dry out because there's still resin in it, which hasn't set. I wanted to get the resin out so that I could reuse them later cleanly, so that there's no leftovers in there that are going to contaminate my next castings. So what did I do? I plugged in my hot glue gun, because I've used hot glue to make moldings before, or I'm sorry, to make castings before. So I know that it will set inside these, just like the mod melts did. They work, just I couldn't get it to go all the way into the bottom with the mod melts. Hot glue, I can get that all the way down. So I plugged it in, and then I sat down at my computer and started playing some League of Legends, and forgot I had plugged in the hot glue gun. For several hours.
Oh!
And I kept walking by as I would, like, go to the bathroom, go into my room, go to the living room, and I'd smell this burning smell, but I didn't associate it with the hot glue gun because there was no sign to me that it was on. There's no LED light or anything that tells me it's on.
Okay.
The only way you know it's on is if you look at the nozzle and see hot glue dripping from it, but the glue gun was facing away from me.
Okay, gotcha.
Because I have it sitting so that the drippage is on something that I don't value.
Right.
That way you can chuck it. So I attributed the burning smell to my neighbors because occasionally my neighbors do cook. Occasionally they barbecue. It's not unusual for me to smell random smells coming from my neighbors' apartments.
Oh, no.
We have a central AC system. Everyone's smells percolate to everyone else's apartment.
Oh no.
That's why you know when someone's cleaning. So I left it there for quite a while, and then I went to bed.
Oh, no!
Thankfully, I am a very light sleeper, because as I was sitting there, and my brain just kind of going over all the events of the day, okay, the podcast recording's coming up, what can I talk about on the podcast? Okay, I did this, 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 and this, and oh yeah, you know, I was sitting there messing around with casting a molding. Oh my god, the hot glue gun. Sat bolt right up in bed, went over to the glue gun and ripped the cord out of the wall. Realized that was where the burning smell was coming from. And then I looked down at where the hot glue was dripping and noticed that it all turned brown.
Gee, I wonder why.
Which is why one of my castings is very, very dark. Almost yellowish brown, because this is what came out of the glue gun. This was me cleaning the mod melts out of the glue gun. That was why I had plugged it in originally. I had meant to clean out the mod melt portion, because you can't, when you have a glue stick and a hot glue gun, you can't just rip the stick out.
No, there's still residue in there.
Once it's melting, it basically adheres to the glue gun and you have to use it up to get it out. So I was trying to do that with the mod melts, and you can see the other castings in comparison. Much more standard. This is the color the mod melts were supposed to be. This is what happens when you leave a hot glue gun on for several hours.
It's very caramel.
And forget about it. It basically was the color of caramel. Not usable, might I add.
No. Wow.
And I was very lucky because there was smoke rising from it.
Was this right underneath your smoke alarm?
Yes, actually.
Oh, good.
Because my craft table is under both the smoke alarm and the carbon monoxide alarm. I don't have a choice in that matter. That's just where the apartment has placed them.
That's just the case, but that's still really funny.
So, long story short, don't leave your hot glue gun plugged in. In fact,
don't leave it unattended.
There should be some sort of timer built into these so that after 15 minutes, it shuts itself off. And all you have to do is just push a little reset button to turn it back on again. It's like a circuit fuse. Basically, it just kind of cuts out. And as long as you can say, yeah, I'm still here, then you can turn it right back on again without having to unplug it, plug it back in. Kind of like you do for irons.
Those are like the $75 models of glue guns, because they do exist and I have seen them, but they are very expensive.
I need the dummy feature for glue guns.
Oh, man.
So, Amber, story time over. That is what I have been doing over the last 2 weeks, in addition to recording another tutorial for you guys, which you will see later on.
Wow.
It did not involve setting anything on fire.
At least you didn't burn anything down. You tried to.
My pride.
You tried to.
I set my pride on fire. What pride I had left.
Well, that sounds very exciting and energizing.
It was very hot. It was so embarrassing. Like, not only did I feel my face flaming on fire about the same temperature as the hot glue was.
Sure.
But as you're sitting there trying to clear the hot glue out, I ended up burning myself.
Of course you did.
Because it's a high temp glue gun.
Because it's a high temp. We need to get you some hot glue guns. Gloves.
Well, I have a low temp too. I just don't ever use it because I always use the high temp one since it fuses better. Thankfully, no blisters. It was a very quick contact, and I usually tend to get it off very quickly. Safety first, kids.
Safety first, kids. So about that resin, what I wanted to add in was, as somebody who's worked with way too much resin, my thought is it probably didn't cure fully because this week has been stinking humid in our area in an unnatural way, more so than normal. And any little bit of temperature change will fudge resin. It doesn't matter. So that's my thought. I'm betting that's probably what caused it to not fully cure.
Humidity change too, because we had random unexpected summer storms for the last week.
Mm-hmm.
And we've actually gotten, I think they said, more rain in 2 days than we were supposed to get for the whole month.
Yeah. It was very unusual, but more than that, it's just the humidity that came with it. We don't usually get this kind of humid. Like, it was borderlining Atlanta, Georgia humid. It was pretty sticky, so.
Yeah, this was Dragon Con in August.
It was close. It was getting there. At least it stayed like 76, so hey.
Eventually, I'm going to have to demold those since I'm pretty sure they won't set at
No, at this point, they're not going to. You're going to have to get them out somehow.
Oh, they'll pull out just with the plug portion. Ooh, that's still sticky, too.
Yep.
The top portion I can pull out, and it'll pull out some of the liquid,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to have to get the rest of the liquid out somehow.
Somehow.
I will not be forgetting to plug in... Forgetting that I plugged in my glue gun this time. But I'll probably just end up using Q-tips and just scraping it out eventually. I don't know. Does acetone break down silicone?
You know what? I don't remember. It's worth looking up.
I know
up.
That acetone does break down resin because that's how you can get it off of your fingers.
Right. Yeah.
You ever... So pro tip, potters, use nail polish remover, acetone.
Nail polish remover.
To remove resin. But if it will damage the silicone molds, then that's a no-go.
I don't know. It's been a long time since I had the need to do that. That's definitely a Google question.
If not, science! I will do it for the knowledge of the potter.
Amber is willing to experiment on everything.
Always.
Well, for my cosplay updates that are definitely nowhere near as exciting or heat-inducing... I decided to challenged myself this week and went to one of those websites where you can create your own pattern and then print it to your own personal size. Those types of sites that are popping up all over the place. I was like, you know what? I'm going to give this a shot because I have an idea for a costume that I want to do, but I don't really have the space to properly do the drafting right now. It's going to be a little bit while, but I really want to start working on this costume. So I was like, let me just give this a shot. So I downloaded one of their free templates that I had it in my size, and I made a mock-up of the top, which ended up turning out pretty okay. The fit wasn't too bad. It was a little funky at first, and I'm going to show you why. Because the seam allowance kind of jumps all over the place. It goes anywhere between a half an inch and a full inch. It's weird. And you
That's a
would
big jump.
it's a very weird thing. And it's like in certain areas, like if it's at the bottom of the skirt for an inch, okay, I get that. I'm a little bit more forgiving because then at least it's consistent. But then there were other areas along the bodice and the sleeve where it jumped around, and I was like, this seems kind of strange to me. So initially the fit was a little wonky until I was like, okay, I'm gonna go back through and recut it to my seam allowance. I usually do like 2/5, definitely less than a half of it. And once I did that, I was like, okay, now this fits me a little bit better. But this is one of the things, like, so there's one side and then there's the other side. And I was like, this don't make sense to me, yo. So I went back through and recut it. And it fit me a lot better after that. So I was like, I'm gonna go full beans. I went ahead and made the pattern, and unfortunately, I don't have a preview for you guys because I dumbly forgot to print it out. But I went ahead and bought it because it was only $2.50. And now I'm gonna go construct it, and I'm gonna go do the mock-up and see how it turns out. And hopefully, it will be as good as the picture made it look. It's gonna be a Lolita-inspired dress, so this is definitely a new area for me, which is kind of cool. Amber will really love the sleeves because they're called elf sleeves. They got this nice little flounce at the end of it, and I was like, this is perfect. This is exactly what I want with it. It's got a nice neckline. It's got the big poofy skirt. I just only did a half circle, the new full circle, because Lord knows I don't need a full circle skirt. That would kill me. But a half circle is plenty of floofiness, and that's if I want to add more, I can add more. That's easy. So yeah, that'll be the next experiment with all of my muslin, and we'll just see how that goes. And hopefully, if this experiment works as intended, this might be my go-to for future patterns if I just don't have the mental power to want to sit and draft things. I can be like, oh, I can just go to this website, put it all together, and remove the seam allowance and just buy it that way. Because it's nice having it as a print on demand, and the fact that you can customize it, the pattern, to what you want it to be, that's really cool too. So they have a giant library that you can already pre-choose from, but then you can also be like, okay, I want this style of skirt with this style of top with it. I want the princess seams, and I want the darts on the back, and I want this kind of closure, and it meshes it all together. And then you can choose where you want multiple sizes. So if you want to do like a small to an XL or like a 2 to a 20, you can do all that, or you could put in your custom size measurements and it'll print for that. So I'm like, yeah. It's kind of cool and kind of nifty. We'll see how this experiment goes. I'm kind of excited for it.
That's actually really neat.
Really neat and really, really helpful for cosplayers where it's like, we know how it is, especially with patterns where we're having to Frankenstein things all the stinking time. Because, I mean, even before all of the cosplay patterns got out there into the world, it was just basically, okay, I need this pattern, this pattern, this pattern to kind of mesh it all together, and I sort of get the thing that I want from this anime. So having a site where I can just be like, okay, pick this, 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 and this, and it compiles it all together for you, it's like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it
So
does the
easy.
Frankensteining for you,
Yes.
and then does all of the work of matching up the seams to pattern pieces that normally don't go together.
Yeah, and I mean, this was the same pattern that I put together in the tutorial last time, and as you guys can see though, it's pretty straightforward. It's not like it was anything too crazy other than the seam allowance. But it all fit together really, really nicely, and it didn't require a whole lot of effort, which was nice. So I was definitely happy about that.
And then, of course, the pattern pieces, since it looks like you put them on either standard paper or
Yeah.
cardstock, one of the
Yeah.
two, that makes them a little bit more sturdy, so they're
Very
more
sturdy.
reusable than, say, standard tissue paper.
Yeah. Does make it a little bit more difficult. Yeah, if you're having to do this with stretch fabric, I would probably reconsider how you were printing it than maybe going to like a FedEx or a UPS or one of those places and get a lighter form of paper so that way it can move with the stretch fabric. But if you're doing it on a standard woven, computer paper is fine. Like, you don't need to be fancy with it, which is kind of nice.
Nothing against tissue paper.
It no, just no,
has
no.
A tendency to tear.
It's so easy to tear.
You need it to.
Yeah. So. Ugh, that's the worst part of it. So yeah, there's my experiment. I'm not blowing things up, but hey.
It wasn't intentional.
You didn't blow anything up either. It was just the potential for the fire to happen.
I hadn't even microwaved the Mod Melts.
We hadn't hit that point yet.
While I was at Joanne's, I did check. They do not have boil bags.
Aww.
I was actually on the candle making section. Or on the candle making aisle. They did not have. So it looks like I will have to MacGyver something if I want to actually boil them.
Right. But yeah, Potters, I'll tell you more about the website. If this ends up working out as well as I think it will, I'll give a full overview and how to make all that happen. Because the website was a little funky. It's European, so it's different standards there. So that was fun trying to figure out how their website worked.
Different sizing, too.
It is different sizing. You can switch back and forth between inches and centimeters, thank goodness. So I was like, yeah, I don't know what I am in centimeters. I'm happy to give you inches, though.
Speaking of international standards, why don't we get on to today's topic?
That was not an intentional segue, but I'm glad that it ended up
that
way.
No, but I can make it one.
It worked really well, though. Because we're going to be talking about WCS, a.k.a. Amber's going to be talking about WCS, because I tried. And I had a hard time. I saw a couple of vids, but I tried.
I ended up actually watching a little bit live and a little bit after the fact. Because it started at 9 p.m. our time.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Texas. And I think I made it for about 2 hours. And then I hit a stopping point at Group B because they had a lot of intro to WCS. There were opening ceremonies. There were various presentations, introduction of the judges, all that stuff. And the way that WCS did it this year is, at least as far as I can tell, because unfortunately the majority of it was in Japanese and they did not have subtitles.
Mm-mm.
So I couldn't understand very much of what they were saying. I got words here and there from what little I know of Japanese, but the majority of it I didn't understand. But it looked like they had a walk-on category and then they had a video production category for those who are not physically there. I think the walk-on was for Japanese citizens because they were there.
Yeah.
And then everybody else was video. That at least that's how it looked.
Yeah, so, and they do this every year too. It's just we don't get to see that portion of it. The one that's get broadcasted to us everywhere else internationally is just the main competition, but they usually do a small local one for those who are Japanese citizens, and they have other events that go on throughout the day. It's just that this time, because they wanted to stream all of it because of COVID restrictions and whatnot, we got a little bit of everything throughout the whole presentation, so it made it all take way too long.
And everything was interspersed. It's not like they had a block for the walk-on and then a block for the video. It was, they would do maybe a half dozen walk-ons, and then they would do block A for the video presentations. And then they'd do another segment of walk-ons. They'd have the judges talk, do interviews, talk to some of the past WCS champions because they're also there.
Mm.
Basically, just everything was very interspersed. And so you couldn't just set a timer and go, okay, I'm going to start watching here because this is where all the video presentations are. You kind of had to watch all of it. It's like you can't skip the ads.
No.
and I don't mean that these are things that you should miss. Just for those who only want to watch, say, the video presentations or only want to watch the walk-ons, you can't really do that.
Because they had more going on, and they also had like dance troupes, and they had song breaks and stuff like that. So they had a lot of stuff happening. And if you don't know the language either, that can also be a little bit of a a hard barrier to cross because you don't exactly know what's going on. I know enough that I can muddle through it, so I was like, okay, I get it. But I know for a lot of other people, if you just do not know any Japanese, bye-bye.
There were a lot of people in the chat, both on YouTube and on Twitch, because I watched on both, that were asking for subs. Especially people for whom English was not their first language either. There were a lot of, Latin American viewers who didn't understand at all. But I was amused at the copyright on the music whenever they did the dance numbers. They did not play the music that was actually playing with what they were dancing to. They played generic music over it, so it didn't match the movements or the vocals. You could see their mouth moving and it didn't match at all.
They were prepared for that copyright.
Right. It was just very awkward to watch because it didn't the feel of the music they were playing over it didn't always match the dance.
Which is so strange because WCS hid all of the video content once the presentation was done. So you'd think they don't have
Right.
to worry about the copyright at that point because it's private. No one's going to see it again. They could have
Or
played
really soon after it, because
it.
the way I ended up watching it afterward, there were 2 days worth. Day one and day two is how they label them whenever they have the videos. And so on Twitch, I caught the day one video before they removed it.
Lucky
So I was
you.
able to rewatch most of it. Not all of it, because unfortunately, when I realized that I should be going back and taking notes on these, by that point they had taken it down. So I watched it through without taking notes. But then what I ended up having to do was to go on YouTube and find someone who did a review, who did a live play-by-play of what they were seeing, and they showed the video up on the screen with it. That's how I was able to watch it when I needed to take notes.
Yeah, I found
Otherwise,
out.
there's no copies.
Yeah, I found out later, and they had it promoted on the WCS Facebook page, is they had cosplayers around the world that were doing live feed reactions to WCS, and they were promoted by WCS to do this. So I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. Still a little disjointed though in some cases, because I tried sitting through one of them, and it was like where the judges and the announcer were talking on top of the video, but then the cosplayer was talking on top of them, and I was like, I can't follow what's going on anymore. There's just so much talking that you can't focus on anything. And yeah, I tried.
I should send you the video that I used because it was actually he stayed quiet
Oh, good.
whenever the videos were playing and whenever the cosplayers were talking. He would only talk like in between.
Okay, good. That's some good pacing then.
Yeah, you could definitely see and hear what was supposed to be like primary.
I got a couple of, I was able to see some of them. I know I saw the USA team. I did see the winning team. And there was like a handful of others. I know I saw, I think, all the Legend of Zelda ones and all the Final Fantasy ones.
Yes.
There were a
Yes.
lot of those.
Yes. It was
So
very
many.
popular this year.
Remake. Woo!
So the two things that I wrote down in my notes for the general overall of the show is that the interviews were great, and these were the interviews with the cosplayers themselves. Since this was basically done like an online cosplay contest, after each video presentation played, and each of those were maybe 3 minutes at most, then they would interview the cosplayers about how they made their costume, and then they would also ask them questions live. So they'd have two video streams playing. One was their submitted video where they talked about how they did it, which is the craftsmanship judging that you would normally do if you were at a cosplay contest. That was playing in the background and it did not have audio, but it showed subtitles. So you could see what they were saying. But in a picture-in-picture window, they had the live stream of the cosplayers live while they were talking to them. And they'd ask them questions like, why did you choose this particular series? What was the hardest part of doing your cosplay? Or what was your favorite part of the video presentation that you just showed? Those kind of questions, very general questions. They changed it up for each cosplayer, so they didn't ask the same questions every time. But it was the same kind of questions. But what I noted is that there was a language barrier for some of the cosplayers who didn't speak English. And the reason I say that is because not all of the groups had a translator. And for those who didn't also speak English as their first language, which the announcer, Chris, is bilingual, sometimes there were issues getting the message across. And it kind of made it a little disjointed to be able to listen to them. And mm-hmm. I think some of the cosplayers couldn't necessarily get their ideas across the way they might have wanted to in their native language.
Right.
Which I think would have really benefited us as cosplayers, because we want to know the answers to some of those questions, like, how did you do X? That wasn't necessarily in there, how we did this video, because those, you only have a limited amount of time for those too. It's kind of 4 minutes for craftsmanship. Lay it all out on the floor. Everything that you did, your months of blood, sweat, and tears in 4 minutes, go.
Yeah, and so. What I did was in chat, and I'll do this in the show notes too, is I linked to the video of all of the competitors and their craftsmanship vids. But surprisingly, what's shocking the crap out of me right now is they re-uploaded all of the individual skits back up. Hey. Oh my god! This is weird because WCS has a really bad history of just hiding everything once it's done. Because, like, once the event's over, it's like they pretend the event didn't exist anymore and they just move on to next year. It's just like, here's the thing. Okay, no, nobody else can see it ever again. And I was a little miffed about that because, especially this year with everything being online and in a video format, it's just by its inherent nature, you should be able to have access to it, even if it's just for like 1 or 2 weeks afterwards. And then if you want to take it down after, fine, whatever. But it's like, you just need to have something there. So it's kind of nice that they put them back up. Yay! Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that there was more that went into craftsmanship judging other than that little video spiel. Right. I'm sure.
Right, right. That's just all they showed.
Yeah, but if you want to see them, I just put a playlist in there. So, cool.
The other thing that I wrote down is because the presentations, which if you are on site, are normally like 3 minute skits.
Yes.
It's like watching a theater production
mm-hmm.
where you have props and everything. Well, these were 3 minute video presentations. So they were effectively mini movies mm-hmm. or like an advertisement. So those who had tech backgrounds had a huge advantage over those who didn't. And you could tell who had VFX type background. Those who were in animation, those who were in film, had like just head and shoulders better production values than those that didn't have that background. And it wasn't their fault. That's not a criticism of those who didn't. It's just that it definitely showed those who did had a really big advantage because of the format.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Val's going to be talking about video production later on.
Yeah.
So I won't say anything too much more about that. The thing that I wrote, and I took notes on each individual country. So I wrote down what series they did. And then wow. I just wrote some general, really quick notes on each country. And I noted who won the prizes of each.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I ended up writing the most was story ?
Mm.
And one of the more important things that you can do, whether your presentation is on video or in person in a theater format, is tell the story
yeah.
that you're trying to tell. And some of the skits, you couldn't tell what the story was.
Mm-hmm.
Because stories have a beginning, a middle, and an end, and it has a definite flow to it where you can follow the action along and go, okay, you know, I can write a little 2 to 3 cent summary of what this story was.
Right.
And I can tell you what this, I was about to say anime, but not all of them were anime, what this series was about. Because some people did video games.
Sure.
Some of the skits were actually incredibly good at telling the story.
Mm-hmm.
And this was regardless of whether or not I knew the story. Because for a lot of these things, like Legend of Zelda, Final Fantasy, like I know the story, so I can fill in the gaps. But for series where I didn't know what the series was about,
mm-hmm.
if you didn't tell me the story, I actually wrote down, what is this about?
Mm-hmm.
? And it really kind of takes you out of the cosplay action because you're sitting there just going, huh?
What is even going on? Yeah.
And actually, for a couple of these skits, I actually wrote WTF. Not on all of them. I think there were actually only three. In fact, one, two, four. I wrote it on four.
And
I wrote it in all caps.
That's something that we see too in when we do live in person, because there seems to be this thing about, okay, this is the really popular anime right now, so let's do a skit on it, without thinking that your entire audience probably hasn't seen the anime. They may not even know about the anime. Whenever people do skits that are something that's hot newness right now, they just kind of assume that everybody has seen it, so they're able to skip over big chunks of story to make it all work and get to the jokes. But for most of us, we're just like, we don't get it. You still need to be able to tell a narrative regardless. You have to assume that no one in your audience has seen your anime or played your video game that you're cosplaying from. You gotta have a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Mm-hmm. And actually going off of that, the other thing that I wrote the most, or I commented on the most between all the different skits, was the difference between those that had dialogue mm-hmm. and those that were silent films.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were not required to have dialogue
no.
at all. And some of these had no sound except for just a background track, mm-hmm. which could be music, it could be just sentences or words spoken in the background. In other words, the characters were not interacting by speaking. And I found that those that did not have dialogue had a much harder time telling the story.
Mm-hmm.
In general, there were a couple that I noted in here that, you know, no dialogue was actually a brilliant decision
mm-hmm.
because of the way that they told the story without having to speak. And that's perfectly fine. You don't have to speak to tell a story. But
right.
if you're going to do it that way, then you still have to set the mood. You still need to show the action that's taking place. A lot of it needs to be exaggerated because we may not necessarily get it. It's a theater thing. And you also have to make it obvious what you're getting at.
Yes.
Especially if there's no dialogue, because we don't have the text to back it up,
mm-hmm.
to tell us what we're seeing. And with this, for the most part, it looks like they didn't have a requirement on the language that the dialogue had to be in. And I mention that because normally when you are on site, it has to be in Japanese.
Yeah.
When you do the theater, the theatrical performances, all of the dialogue has to be in Japanese. Here, I know for sure there was some Japanese, there was some English, and I want to say the Israeli team spoke in Hebrew. Because it wasn't English and it wasn't Japanese.
Because I did notice that a couple of teams were in their native language, but they got dubbed over in Japanese.
Right. Right. This was not dubbed.
Okay.
And that's why I made a note of it, because I was like, huh, that's interesting. Because if somebody is speaking in a language you don't know, you really need to subtitle your video,
mm-hmm.
which they did. Just in the future, you know, for anybody looking to do this, if you want to do it in your native language, that's perfectly fine. Just make sure that we understand the dialogue if you're going to use it, because that's part of telling the story. And kudos to them for doing that. Okay, so a couple of these I did want to touch on, and that is breaking immersion.
There was quite a few of that.
So, and I know you're going to talk a little on this, so I'm only going to briefly mention it.
I say, you go ahead and talk about it, because what I'm mostly going to be talking about later is just getting started into the video thing, because once I started writing down my notes, I was like, oh man, we could spurn this into an entire episode. I want to make a panel presentation about this. Like, I got plans now. So you say whatever you need to say.
So I'll be brief on this, mostly because I'm also looking at what time it is for the length of this episode.
Long episode. Hi.
In terms of breaking immersion, I understand that not everybody has grandiose buildings they can go to film this, and that not everybody has the budget to get expensive backdrops and props and such. But when you're filming a scene near where you live, perfectly fine. But I know there was one, and this is not criticism. It's meant to be constructive criticism. Let me put it that way. The Legend of Zelda skit that had the chicken.
Yes.
Which I can look up which country it was, but later. When I saw the playground, it knocked me out.
Yeah.
Because it's just so non sequitur that I focused more on the playground being there as an anachronism, like mm-hmm. it's not supposed to be there, than the rest of the skit that was happening around it, which was actually fantastic.
It was
loved
cute.
Their skit. And they overacted it just the right amount,
yes.
which is what you're supposed to do in theater. Just seeing the playground in the background in the it's house
kind of
was
takes
just
you
like,
out.
Huh? And I realize, you know, you work with what you have.
Sure.
But
there's a ways that you can cheat yourself and cheat the camera to kind of hide some of this content so you don't see that running in the background. If they had just moved themselves over like 10 feet, they probably wouldn't have had
right.
that.
There was another example, the D. Gray Man group. They did it to where they were basically filming as though they were there on stage. So they had the PVC pipe backdrops, and they had it basically the same way that you would have done it if you had performed on stage, just yeah. with a camera watching you instead of people.
Gotcha.
Which was great, except that one of their backdrops unfolding was so disjointed and looked like it was about to fall over.
Oh no.
That it broke immersion. That I was focused more on that not smoothly operating as expected, that maybe could have been done better with a green screen
mm-hmm.
or with a cloth drop instead of the PVC pipe opening. But as soon as I saw that, it kind of knocked me out of the skit briefly. And that was all it took, because then I was paying closer attention to the other props in the background. And that's not what you want to be paying attention to. You want to pay attention to the people who are acting in front of it.
Yeah.
Okay, the Dark Souls get.
Mm-hmm.
The aggressiveness of the background music, I stopped paying attention to the skit.
That's a great word. It was very aggressive background music. I remember this one too.
It was great music. It sounded very Dragon Force-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that group, but it was so distracting that I wasn't even really paying attention to the fighting. It knocked me out of the immersion. And with some of these, oh, that was something else I wrote on a few of these. Lighting needs work.
Yeah.
Because we want to see your costumes.
Mm-hmm.
We want to see all the detail. We want to see the fight that's taking place. I get the atmospheric aspect. They made a great choice of building, but if we can't see you, then it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be able to see you in your costume. Because I wrote that on the Dark Souls, and I wrote that... Where was the other lighting issue?
There was one of them that looked like it was in a hotel room or someone's bedroom, I think. It had like 3 or 4 different characters, which made it even more confusing.
There was Code Geass.
Is that it?
That was the one that was in the giant building.
Nope, not that one.
And they were playing chess.
Oh, maybe that is the right one then.
That one needed better lighting.
It was a good idea.
And the one that was... I don't see it like here, and I know it's in my notes, but it's the one where they made fun of the underwear being stained, and it was a fight between 2 girls.
Did not see that one.
That one, like, needed a little bit better lighting. And I wrote on 2 of these, vertigo warning, please.
Oh, no. Oh.
Because I have motion-triggered sickness myself, and when the camera jerks or wavers everywhere and I don't have warning...
Ew.
It actually gives me nausea.
I hate that.
And I actually wrote that on Finland and Hong Kong. Vertigo warning, please. Because there was
Yikes.
No warning and it was immediate cuts. And I had to actually close my eyes.
Those
because
are the
I
worst.
Couldn't watch. So please be careful, guys. Not all of us are VR-enabled people.
If you do it correctly, it can look very nice and smooth and it won't give you that
Right.
vertigo. But if you're not used to it and you're just like, oh, this seems like it would be a cool idea, it could come off kind of incorrectly and then you get the motion sickness. It not fun.
I know that you will appreciate this one, the Final Fantasy Crisis Core LOL the Chocobo Ref.
Yeah. I appreciated that.
And on a couple of these, Germany was one of them. Where was the DBZ one? Indonesia. Special effects. A plus 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 plus. It makes it so much stronger of a story when the special effects go with the story.
Yes.
They're not just random special effects added because you want to make it look cool. They belonged and they enhanced the story. And they did a fantastic job of making them look realistic enough that it didn't break immersion. Because there were some special effects that were used that did not maintain immersion.
Again, it takes you
They tried
out of
so
the
hard.
story.
It does. Like for India's cell makeup, that's CEL, cell makeup is very non sequitur. It was a special effect cut to where they cut to where they were wearing cell shaded makeup, and it was very non sequitur. It's just like, huh? It made no sense. It was well done makeup, don't get me wrong. It just didn't really fit with the narrative they were telling at the time. I know it was meant as an inside joke.
Sure.
That's pretty much all that I had for general notes. I'm not going to go over each and every country because the podcast would be 2 hours.
Did you happen to see like anything that was trending amongst all of the videos? Like anything that seemed kind of similar that would be like, okay, people are probably going to start copying this for years to come?
Aside from the special effects and trying to film in atmospheric locations, because I noticed that those seem to get the biggest reaction from the judges. I noticed that there were a lot of people that did a lot of camera cuts fast,
Fast camera action.
very fast camera cuts.
Like pew, 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 pew.
Yeah, like you would get maybe 3 seconds of action, cut. Five
Oh.
seconds of action, cut.
Guys, don't do that. That's not how you cut an action scene.
Like everything was just change perspective, change perspective, change perspective. It didn't flow between the
Oof.
shots. And actually, on a handful of these, I wrote camera cuts too quick.
Am I gonna have a headache watching some of this? Oh,
No. I think you'll just grit your teeth and want to pull out your hair just because you know how it could be done to make it better.
yes, I have many film degrees and I've been on movie sets.
I did note at least across quite a few that they went for video game-esque footage. Not
Okay.
just the setting, but it was almost as though their camera setting itself was specifically engineered to give it that video game look when you see the
Okay.
footage, so that it looks like it came out of a video game. And I don't know if that's because it's higher FPS on the camera. Like maybe
Possibly.
they filmed it at 60 instead of 30. I'm not sure what they did, but I noticed that some of the better vids had that almost video game look
Okay.
to it. So I'm not quite sure what they did with that. Background music. Almost everybody used very emotional background music, except for Dragon Force. But the rest of them actually chose really good background music that was fitting for the series that they were portraying. I'm guessing that all of them were probably from the series, instead of just
Probably.
choosing generic music. I'm sitting here noting the dubbing issues on some of them. Okay. Contrived fighting.
Oh, yeah. Fighting for the sake of fighting. Because it looks cool.
No. Well, it's not... I mean, it is that. But what I meant by contrived fighting, and this is something that they don't really have as much control over mm-hmm. as cosplayers, for those who have not competed in cosplay contests generally, not just WCS, they usually have rules with fighting and yes. how you conduct fighting skits. And they say that you can only go 50% speed and 25% strength. That's the general... Like, some cons are different, but that's the general rule that most cons use.
Yeah, usually at least 1 foot has to be on the stage. You can't do any jumps. You can't do any rolls, no flips, nothing like that.
Exactly. So what that means is that you're fighting at half the speed you would normally do a fight scene, and you can't use really any strength. Mm-hmm. It's like the strength of a slap, like at most.
If even.
And so when you have fights like that, and you don't end up engineering it basically like the Matrix so that it looks like it was meant to be slow.
It's stylized.
It looks very forced. Like,
ooh.
And it looks fake.
It's so strange. Players,
they didn't mean to have it that way.
Right.
And this is something I noted with the Dragon Ball Z group. Is what you can do, those rules only apply to live performance.
Mm-hmm.
You can speed it up in the video so it's real speed. And the group, was it Hong Kong? No, it was Japan. They actually ended up fighting, I'm pretty sure, close to normal speed. That was not 50% speed. And it was also not 25% strength. But it was a great fight.
Good.
It was entertaining to watch. And so I'm kind of hoping that with these being video productions, that hopefully they'll kind of pull back a little bit on the enforcement of the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Because it knocks you out of immersion. It yeah. looks fake. It looks fake on the theatrical stage too, to be fair.
It comes off more comical because you're in a right. video format and it feels like it's slowed down and you're just like, is this meant to be funny or did they intend this to be serious? You don't really know.
Right. So that was something that I noticed across all of the skits. Okay. At least those that used fighting.
Yeah. The only other thing that I saw that kind of stood out to me is that there were a couple of groups where it was more than two costumes, where they had like three or four characters involved, and that really confused me, because with WCS, it's just two characters, because those are the costumes that they are judging you on, and that's it. But then there were some skits where I was like, okay, there's a third character who's
Branch
in there
did with Cat's Eye.
With like way more screen time than the primary character that they were cosplaying, so why didn't they submit this one to be judged and not the other one? It was just like, okay, I want this to be a story about two characters. We don't need to be bringing in three or four or five others to muddle up the whole mix. And it seemed like there were a couple of groups that were doing that.
Yes.
Because if these were stage productions, it would not be possible.
Right. They wouldn't have been able to do this if they were there.
Yeah, there's no way.
I'm trying to see if I can just quickly tell who the other one was. I know the group...
The Zelda group with the chicken was one of them.
Yes, because they had the storekeep.
Yeah. The
that was one of them.
The ones that were playing chess, was that Code Geass?
Yes.
Yeah.
They also had three.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was...
There was a Final Fantasy VII skit with Cloud, Sephiroth, and Aerith. I remember that one too, because Cloud was on the screen so much, and I was like, but wait, where's Sephiroth? Wasn't that the one being judged for craftsmanship?
Right. There was one that did one of those underground, like, why can't I think of the name of it? It's like one of those video games that takes place underground, and they fought one of the giant monsters that was in what looked like a garage.
Okay.
It was a shoot 'em up game.
I'm sure if I look through the list.
They had a flamethrower. In fact, I think Resident Evil 3.
Oh, okay.
I wrote down because they won best prop and I knew it was for the flamethrower.
Okay.
Because I actually wrote, was the flamethrower real? Question mark, question mark, question mark. Because I was impressed with it. Mostly because they did an explosion special effect after it, so I didn't know if the flamethrower was also VFX.
Okay.
But they also had three.
And that
even
just
though
seems
one was
so
a minor character.
Weird to me, because it's like, if we were to transition this to the WCS stage, I know that they have more freedom here. I'm just like, you can't bring in that third costume. You would not be able to quick change fast enough to make that happen. Right. I kind of gravitated more towards the skits where it really was just two people. Because you could see, especially with the way that they filmed it and how they interacted with people, you could be like, okay, I could see how this could transition to the stage. This would make sense. I like this. Those are the ones I tended to gravitate towards.
I usually ended up starring the ones that combined solid storytelling with two people that really got the story of the anime or video game across in that 3 minutes with the special effects that didn't break immersion.
Yeah. And that's basically what they were looking for. They had all the criteria listed. It was a lot of criteria, but they were looking at not just the costumes, but also the acting, any fight sequences, the props, but the video effects, the editing, how well it was lit, like every component of the video was taken into consideration.
Yep. And as far as the awards go, I agree with their top awards. At least having seen those skits, those who got first, second, and third place deserved it.
It makes sense.
Yeah, they did really well. They gave away several other awards like visual directing, comedy award, action award, best actor. They did environmental consideration award, which I really wasn't sure what exactly that entails.
Not a clue.
Sound directing and best prop. For the most part, those all were very well deserved too. I noticed Indonesia, which was the Dragon Ball Z, the Gohan and Cell that I starred because it was so good. They won an NFT award and I wasn't sure what that stood for either.
Oh, non-fundable token award.
Well, I know what that is, but like, what is the award for?
I don't know.
They didn't have any NFTs in their movie.
That was one of those that they did not explain. So I just kind of looked at it and I was like, can you give me some details? Because even if I could pick up a keyword here or there in Japanese, that would give me something to work off of. But they just said, we have an NFT award. And then they went to the next slide. And I was like, okay, sure.
Right. So I think that pretty much covers our coverage of WCS 2021.
Amber was way more astute about it because I was having a rough time watching it. And one, I work. Two, I just couldn't find videos afterwards until now. Now that I know that the playlist is up, as of 3 days ago, I'm going to go through and watch it. I did see a couple of them, though. I did see Germany's. I did see the USA. I saw a couple others. I got a couple in my brain. We'll see if they do this again next year. It would be kind of cool if they did it in conjunction with their live stage show. So they have a live stage version, then a video version, because the video stuff definitely be cool if they continue promoting that content.
I think it really enhances their ability to show off skits.
Yes.
By allowing them to do that. Now, again, those who have technology expertise with video making do have an advantage. But now that they know what you can make them look like, I think more groups will be willing to bring in that outside help because you are allowed to bring in outside help for the video making.
Yes.
I think more of them will do that now that they've kind of seen like the bar. And I hope that they don't focus more on the video making to the detriment of showing off the costume, which is kind of the whole point of the competition.
Yeah.
Because I felt like in a couple of the videos, they didn't show off the costumes enough. It really was like a movie if the movie was just the story and didn't care about what they were wearing.
Right.
It's like, no. You guys did such a great job and you put in so much effort over months because you can see it in the interview after the video, like sure. how much work they put into it. I want to see more of that. Show me more of your costume.
We need a balance
of the
two.
Don't just make it about the VFX. Exactly. So keep going with the videos. Just also make sure that we see, you know, why you're here.
And because this episode is so long and we're going to force you guys to listen to our videography discussion in the after session. Ha ha!
But of course, if you would like to give your opinions on WCS, feel free to join in the conversation via any of our social media, which of course you can find here.
If you are watching us on video right now, everything is located underneath Amber. For those who are listening to us, you can visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, and on YouTube and Twitter at cospodcast. Our after session this time is going to be all about videography, which is going to be Val-centric because she knows way too much and she wants to share it with the world. You can visit all of our after sessions that are exclusive on YouTube only. Check our profiles for the link.
Or, of course, if you would like to email us your opinion on videography, WCS, or perhaps how well Nick Cage would do in WCS, feel free to email us, podcast@cospod.org, where you'll get an answer from both of us. Otherwise, we would like you guys, please continue staying healthy out there. We know, you know, things are getting rough in some parts of the world. We're with you. 110% Moss love to the world. Please keep it up. We'll get through this together, guys. Otherwise, we will see you next time in episode 240. Happy cosplaying, everybody.
Bye, guys.